You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So the new Star Wars movie opens today nationwide.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian and...
Grogu. Baby Yoda.
Which is a takeoff of the relatively popular TV series that they created.
Mandalorian.
I'm reading the review in the Wall Street Journal. It is getting a horrible review.
So it might
and this
be,
hurts my heart.
It might be good.
Just because you can keep making something doesn't mean you necessarily should keep making something.
But I would bet the Wall Street Journal had an equally awful review for Anchorman, which is one of the greatest movies of all time. Let me read you this one paragraph.
Oh, boy.
On TV, The Mandalorian popularized the catchphrase, "This is the way."
Okay.
When it comes to reinvigorating the Star Wars series, this is not the way.
Yeah, that wasn't very hard to come up with anything.
Very clever. Very clever.
I mean, is it time that we move on from trying to extend one of the greatest franchises of all time?
There have been some misses. Episodes 1 and 2.
When it comes to the series, the TV, smaller screen series, there have been some misses, and there have been some astonishingly good ones.
Andor was great.
Andor is probably one of the top 10 on my list. Yeah.
Sam, you had a very interesting story in that newscast. Listen to this, Dana, about teens averaging nearly an hour of smartphone use after 10 p.m. on school nights.
Okay.
Teens average nearly an hour after 10 p.m., with more than half of them active on their phones between midnight and 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah, we can't have that.
They're just doing what we're doing.
This late-night scrolling, primarily on social media and streaming apps, suppresses the melatonin surge needed for rest and can affect their sleep. Really?
Teens are also supposed to get 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night. This, of course, causing them to get 3 to 4 hours of sleep.
I remember saying to my kids, if you want to dock that thing in your room, wind down before you go to bed, that's fine. But not to the detriment of your health and your eyeballs. And they were good at self-monitoring that stuff.
But does it help them wind down?
That's how I wind down. I told you, I always play Wordle at night.
But were they, or did they just hide it really well from you?
They might have hidden it, but I don't think so. Because, Sam, they always got right up in the morning. And during swim season, we're talking a 4:30 a.m. wake-up call.
Because I didn't have a smartphone growing up, but I remember when we got our first laptop. It was the craziest thing in the world. I could play computer video games anywhere in the house.
Yeah,
and
very
I would
exciting.
Wait for my mom go to bed, and I'd get up, and I'd walk out to the computer desk, and I'd grab the laptop, and I would take it into my room, and I would play RuneScape until the sun came up.
Yep.
And if I heard my mom walk down the hallway, I would shut the laptop and pretend like I was asleep.
Okay, but then how did you function the next day?
You better believe I was up and chipper ready to go because I didn't want to give her any signs that I stayed up all night playing video games on the computer.
See, when we were kids, last century kids,
yes,
we would have a book or comic books under the covers and fall asleep.
With a flashlight.
With a flashlight.
Or Kiss cassettes.
Did you hear about this?
Or Kiss cassettes.
A wild brawl broke out over seating arrangements at a Catholic kindergarten graduation ceremony. And out of control, caught on camera brawl broke out between families over seating at a Catholic school's kindergarten graduation in Ohio last night. One woman was sent to the hospital, by the way. Another was sent to jail. Chaos ensued at the Queen of Apostles School in Toledo, Ohio, when one family reportedly began hoarding rows of seats for themselves. Look this up. You've got to see the video.
I'm reading it right now.
28-year-old Jessica Anderson allegedly started cursing at other befuddled parents who tried to take some of the seats she was accused of hogging. Another parent of a, quote, graduating student, Craig Mays, told the outlet that he tried to calm her down, but could only get a few words out before her family jumped him. I'm arguing with her. I literally don't remember anything he says. I just know I was sucker punched. 5 men in Anderson's extended family surged out of their seats and dog piled on him. The wild video shows several people pummeling a man who lay prone to the ground while others tried to yank them all apart. Two women started pulling each other's hair. One
this
woman
was a kindergarten graduation.
This was
got it.
The children, by the way, were rehearsing for their highly anticipated graduation ceremony in a separate room. Thank God when the fight broke out.
America.
I know how hard these kids work. I know how hard these teachers work. And for the parents to ruin it and be selfish like that, it breaks my heart. Quoting here from one parent, that I could not watch my daughter, quote, graduate today.
Okay. Two thoughts. Number one, kindergarten kids really don't work that hard.
Thank you.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
The teachers, I think, do, but the students don't. They're there to play, maybe learn a number or two, a color or two.
I'm going to need you.
Sleep on the floor.
What is wrong with people?
What number of seats can you reserve?
Okay, let's go there.
For people who are not there yet.
Because real quick, can you picture a very small elementary school gymnasium?
Catholic graduation. Okay.
So there's what, going to be 20 kids there probably graduating, 25?
No, that would just be one class probably, but it would be somewhere in the neighborhood of okay. maybe 80.
My point is I've looked at the seating. Everyone in there would be able to completely watch what was going on because the room is so small. They have rows of chairs. Oh, my. Rows of probably, let's say, 12 rows of chairs. Okay. With 8 to 10 chairs in each row. You guys, it is a full-on melee.
Now, I would be more impressed if they went WWE, lifted up one of those chairs, and smacked somebody over the head with it.
That's how you
that
do it.
Would impress me.
This is the way.
I don't.
This is not the way, Dan.
I don't.
Why do we feel like we have a right to certain things?
Because we're entitled.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm only seeing like 20 parents here. So my
so
point
maybe
is
it was just one class.
Even if you were in the second row or the third row or, oh my gosh, the fourth row. Mm. You're going to see everything because it's a small ceremony in a small room with folding chairs that it looks like at one point did get Jerry Springer'd.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
it's good.
Sam.
It's pretty good.
It is just. It is just.
So I will ask
and then one dad has a congratulations balloon, and he's like backing off protecting the balloon.
Well, those are expensive.
Yes. You are not going to take my kid's graduation balloon.
It's been popped.
What are the number of seats that you can
reserve? For people who are not there yet?
3.
I was going to say the same thing.
Sam?
0.
Oh, that at a graduation, you've got to be able to reserve.
Now wait a minute. Take, for example, you're going to your nephew that you're really close with?
Yeah.
And what grade is he in, if I can ask?
He's 4.
Okay. So he's almost in kindergarten.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to his kindergarten graduation ceremony.
Right.
At whatever school. Mary Beth is running late.
Oh my
God. You leave from work and get there early.
Okay.
She's running late. She gets there.
Yeah.
And sorry, sweetie, this guy took your seat.
I give her my seat and go stand in the back.
Isn't this an event that you want to watch together, share the moment?
I can see it from the back, can't I?
Yes, everyone can see it from the back. This is a kindergarten graduation.
That's why I'm saying.
You know what the kids want? They want a balloon and a cookie and a pat on the head. And
sing a song.
They sing a song. It's very cute. It's very sweet. In fact, one year it was the baby graduating from pre-K, I believe. And they had all of the children make their own graduation hat. And do you know what they used to make it? It was hilarious. A tortilla. They had a tortilla. Like, they all made them as a class project, and they put macaroni on it, you know.
How did they affix it to their head?
There was another little thing that came down. Oh, okay. And I've still got the picture of that little buddy walking around with that tortilla on his head. It's hilarious. It was perfect.
That's cute.
We don't need to be buying outfits for a pre-K graduation, people. And we certainly don't need to be hurling chairs at one another.
Let me ask you this. When did the kindergarten graduation, fifth grade graduation, eighth grade graduation come around?
Our kids' generation.
Yeah. I was about to ask the same thing. Why do we even have a kindergarten graduation?
It was because Sam, and I'm going to be honest.
It's really not an accomplishment.
It is the most darling thing when these little four-year-olds walk by wearing a tortilla on their head, and they're all supposed to be in line, and they think it's a very big deal. It's literally a photo opportunity for the parents. That's all it is.
Let me disagree. It is cute for us.
Yeah, an elementary music teacher weighing in on the text line saying they had to stop Kinder celebrations. 3 years in a row, they had to call the police.
No.
For dumb parents fighting.
No!
See, I was talking to somebody the other day who just got done watching their eighth grade grandkid or something graduate. And I'm thinking, why do we even have eighth grade graduation? You still got 4 years to go. You're not there yet, kid.
Here's what I do like. They give out awards for, you know, the kindness award and
best macaroni glued to plate.
Yes, the
award.
Band award when you're graduating from eighth grade or whatever it is.
I think it started back in the 90s with the whole everybody gets a trophy.
Yes, everybody's got to sit through the band performance and the choir.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. The kindergarten, the fifth grade, the eighth grade, is that for them or is that for
us? It's totally for the parents.
Yeah.
Now, eighth grade, I think, is more for them. By the time they're in eighth grade, they're so sick of middle school. They're so ready to go on to high school. And so you do acknowledge that. They're physically leaving a building.
But are we putting a false thing into their head where they think that they've actually accomplished something?
No.
Yes.
We're just, you know, I don't know.
From the text line, this was a Catholic school, right?
Yes.
I bet there were some cocktails in the parking lot before this brawl.
I do not
Probably
know.
Probably a kegger.
Uh-huh.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Okay, I was reading a story in here, which is to say I was doom-scrolling Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did Bill Brooks just say?
I, too, was not paying attention, but we shall pay attention now.
I heard Dan shout, yes!
From the great, the national treasure, Bill Brooks.
There's a crash northbound I-29 at mile marker 32, and I-29 is shut down tighter than a bottle of hooch in a dry Kansas county. I-35 is experiencing heavy slowdown.
Nice. Even with the Kansas reference.
Tied down tighter than a bottle of hooch in a dry Kansas county.
That might be my favorite. Can you help me understand something about a comedian that I've never heard of?
I think.
There are many accidents that can cause serious injury or death in your home. Usually slips and falls in the bathroom, sure. In the kitchen, that kind of thing. I saw this headline, and it doesn't explain how she got into this predicament that almost killed her. But I need you to help me understand how this might happen.
Okay.
Her name is Laura Cleary. She's a comedian.
Laura Cleary.
She is going to live, but she was severely injured after she was, quote, pinned by a refrigerator in a, quote, terrifying freak accident. The 39-year-old almost died when she was pinned by a refrigerator earlier this week. The 39-year-old calls the incident the most terrifying night of my life as a single mom. I was at home alone, getting ready for bed, when my 600-pound fridge slammed into me and pinned me against the counter.
Yeah, that makes sense.
She says she couldn't move and could not breathe as she struggled to get the children, as she struggled to get the fridge off of her. I genuinely did not know if I was getting out alive. She happened to have her phone in her pocket and was able to either dial or tell Siri to dial the number.
Yep.
It took 3 firefighters to lift it off me.
Did it fall on her or pin her? I thought you said pin.
It said pinned. I need someone to explain, and I'm not saying we're doing this for clicks, but she did film the entire thing as she was being loaded into an ambulance.
Right.
How does a refrigerator fall on you and pin you? I know that one of the most dangerous workplace things is the thing where you get your ho-hos.
Right.
The vending machine, because people try to rock it to get the thing out when you pay for the thing and the thing doesn't release, stuck on the circular. And now there's little stickers on those things that say, don't do this, you'll die. The thing will tip over and you will die.
First of all, there is no standard fridge that is 600 pounds.
Well, the big double ones with the fancy doors that look like your cabinetry, you know. Yeah. Okay, let's... Let's focus on.
I don't believe any of this story.
Pinning.
I don't either. My BS meter is going off
on
so
person.
Bad.
Yeah. You know, I've opened and closed my fridge, I don't know, thousands of times.
We all have done that.
I've put food in it.
We have all done that.
Out of it.
It's never moved.
Let's say she has a sub-zero gigantic metal fridge.
My point being, I've even moved my fridge. And would you care to guess how many times it has fallen over?
I'm going to go zero.
Oh, whoa, zero.
Here's what I don't. She says she was home by herself. But then she said she was terrified because she heard her kids cry. I don't know. And she's a YouTuber, so my radars are already up. How does a fridge fall over and pin you?
Because she is not a major player in the comedy world, and she needs clicks. That's how she's going to make her money, get herself a little bit of notoriety.
Some of her fans bashed her for filming part of the incident. Why were you recording in the middle of getting put into the ambulance? No one does that. The firefighters clearly look annoyed. Nobody records after something like that.
Yeah. Tell me, why would she record? You're fearing for your life, right?
Right.
Okay. You're fearing for your life. You've just called 911, allegedly, and you start filming it. No, you don't try to keep pushing it off of you. You just start filming yourself suffering.
Okay. From People Magazine, the woman is reflecting on the scary moment her kitchen fridge, quote, unexpectedly fell on top of her.
All right, let's go to Brian Pippen with the Appliance Care Company. You can hear him on Saturday mornings.
Please help us, Brian.
I would love to answer that question.
Yeah, please.
It can happen. And let me explain. There are freestanding refrigerators, the standard side-by-side French door, the cross top, top mount, the everyday run-of-the-mill refrigerators, those are not going to fall on you.
Okay.
The compressor is in the back. It's weighted heavy at the bottom. Those will not fall over. You can open all the doors. You can do anything you want, and they're not going to fall down.
Okay.
However, a refrigerator that is a built-in refrigerator where the compressor and all of the equipment is at the top, if it is not securely mounted to the cabinetry, yes, it is top heavy. And yes, if those doors are loaded with food and you open everything up and you slightly pull on it, it can tilt, it can fall over, it can crush you. But this is negligence on the installer. Whoever put it in did not make sure it was secured to the cabinet.
Okay, help me understand when you say secured to the cabinets, like left and right? Like,
right.
Is this one of these gigantic sub-zero things?
Yes, I saw it. I already saw the story. I already looked in on it. It is true. My BS meter went off. I said, oh, nope, it's a built-in. This can't happen. There are screws on the sides of a refrigerator, just like a double wall oven, just like a wall oven. When you open the door, there are screws that connect it to the cabinet. That way, if you lay down your heavy turkey on the door, it doesn't fall out on top of you. Same with an oven. When you open that heavy door, there's anti-tipping brackets on an oven. That way, it doesn't fall over and then burn and scald. I got horror stories. I'm not going to go into details.
Give us one.
Oh, no, Scott. How about some of my friends? I had a friend that I went to school with where the oven was not secured to the floor, and his name is Brent. I won't give his last name, but the boiling water on top, mom had set something heavy on the oven door, and the entire stove tipped over, or maybe he stepped on it. It was something heavy went on the door. The entire stove tipped forward, and everything on top fell on top of Brent, and he was permanently scarred. Half of his body is terrible.
Brian,
a refrigerator can fall over.
Listen to this. According to her ex-husband, the incident occurred because their eldest child, who happens to have autism, had accidentally pulled the fridge out of the housing it was supposed to have been securely fastened to when we built the house. It seems some work had been done on the fridge recently, and the 8 screws that were supposed to hold it in place, only 2 had been put back in.
That's where my BS meter goes off. For a child to be able to pull that out, I mean, unless the child is as big as my son, Alex, that's pretty slim because, yes, those things do weigh up to 600 pounds. I've installed many of those monster sub-zeros. And for a child to be able to grab that and release the screws and get it to pull out, no, that's something's off about that. That's not. If it was recently serviced, then the installer should have put it back in and reinstalled it correctly.
And didn't. And he's saying we're going to look into this, which of course, Brian. But I'm glad you called in because we could not see our way through how this could happen.
Yes, absolutely can happen. Those Sub-Zeros, all of those built-ins, Viking Thermidors, those Mons Decors, they are heavy. Brian, I mean, sometimes we've got to send two or three people out to work on them just to get it out of the cabinet to be able to service it and then put it back in. And one more thing, these things have landing gears. In other words, once you get into position, we have giant screws at the bottom of the refrigerator to raise it up and get it off the wheels. This way we can actually get it level into the cabinetry.
Wow.
Brian Pippen with the Appliance Care Company. We will hear you tomorrow morning, I presume. And by the way, I've been following your weight loss journey. You look fantastic.
Brother, I appreciate you. Thank you very much. I give it all credit to Sam Stevie.
Be well.
Scott, when we get back, if you were in an emergency situation and you had one text to send, what would you say? Because I'm going to tell you the text she sent to her ex-husband, and he thought she was joking.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, what is the text that comedian Laura Cleary sent to her ex-husband?
Sam, what do I say to you guys all the time when something is so funny? And I think everything is so funny that I send you.
You say, OMG, I'm dying.
Mm-hmm. I am here to tell you that if you are now in an emergent situation, the I'm dying, if you're actually dying, you cannot say anymore. Or people will go dead. I am dead. When something is funny that you just cannot stop laughing at.
I've lost count of how many times you've said, I'm dying.
But it's typically with a story or a picture. If you had just blatantly out of the blue texted, I am dying.
Here's the problem.
I'd be picking up the phone.
She, at 8 p.m., texted her ex-husband, I'm dying. He, earlier in the day, had sent her something that was funny. She had never replied back. So when he first saw I'm dying, he said I thought she was referring to a joke I had made earlier.
Oh my.
Then she wrote, come now. And he said he just thought it was confusing. Like he said I had no idea what she was talking about.
Well, here's a text you sent to Sam and me not too long ago. We need to bring in the big guns. Are we going to battle?
He said it seemed completely out of character for her to say that. So he replied with just a question mark. When she said, I'm dying, come now.
Right.
He wrote question mark. Then I get a call. I can barely hear her. She's hyperventilating, struggling to breathe. And I heard her say, help me, help me, help me. He thought it was one of the kids. Okay. I tried to get the story out of her, but she was incomprehensible. But I could hear her say to our daughter, go get me a cushion, go unlock the door. It was disjointed and frantic. And the child, to her credit, was remaining calm, but saying, I'm just a kid. He said, I tried my best to keep her on the phone because I've seen this in films. Whatever was wrong, if someone was passing out, they're more likely to die. So he then calls 911, says, get over there. Firefighters rush in. They get the refrigerator off of her. That is a great lesson for all of us. What do you say in a text when you really need help? I'm asking, what do you say?
Not, I am dying.
You say 911. I think you would text 911 or you would text, would you text help me?
Am I still the only one not buying this story?
No, I actually think it happened now, Sam. Because what they're saying is...
I thought our kids weren't home.
Well, in one of the stories, it said they weren't. In this story, they were. When the firefighters got there, 7 firefighters, it took 3 of them to hoist it off of her.
Okay.
Well, I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that. I think where Sam's going with this, and I am to a lesser degree, is did she set this up on her own?
Oh, God, no, I don't think so. Because if she was trapped in between the counter and a Sub-Zero fridge, Scott, you would be crushed to death. You're not able to get your breath as you're being crushed to death. I'm just telling you, if you're ever in an emergency, do not write to somebody, I'm dying. What you need to say is, not joking, call 911. I need help. And I would even write, not joking. This is not a joke. Because people are like, what? What's Dana texting about? She says she's dying. She's always laughing about something.
Why'd she text?
Good point.
Maybe she said, hey, S-I-R-I, send this.
Huh.
Why not just say, hey, S-I-R-I, call John?
Why not say, hey, S-I-R-I, call the police, I'm dying?
No, because I think you got to be very clear.
Call the police, that's pretty clear. I just...
I don't know. I hate to be the Nelly naysayer.
I don't know that she acted in the way that we all would have acted. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But I now believe the story.
So, and the more you tell the story, the less I believe it.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to go with Sam here. You know who always or almost always answers the call to 911? 911. Like, we have a running bet or a running joke in our family. If you were arrested, who is the last one you're calling? And mine would either be my brother or my daughter, Sarah. But you'll get an answer if you call 911 and just say, I am dying and I'm at such and such and I'm pinned by a refrigerator. Why would you text your ex-husband who may be out on a golf course or maybe running errands and isn't paying attention to his phone?
Yeah.
And then you've got, what, 30 minutes left? Before you're dead, that's a hell of a gamble.
Yeah,
that is a hell of a gamble.
We never heard of before.
Well, I believe that this happened, and I believe that I am glad that Brian called in to explain that this can and does happen. Yep. The oven door is a great example. All of those things are supposed to be bolted down.
Now,
how many are there bolted? Probably not that many. That's why when you have toddlers, Scott. They sell those furniture straps that you're supposed to, oh my God, if you have an armoire.
That's for a dresser.
But who would have thought a refrigerator needs to be tamped down?
You can't strap a refrigerator because you can't open the doors.
You have to bolt it sideways and behind.
I understand.
I'm just saying. I never would have known that that was a thing.
If I'm arrested on the show, I'm not calling you at all.
Okay.
And I'm not calling Sam between the hours of 11 and noon.
Okay.
Because he never answers.
Because I will never answer the phone between 11 and noon.
Okay.
That's a fact.
I'm calling Dan Weinbaum. He's my man.
I think Dan would answer.
Melissa in Lee Summit. Hello, Melissa.
Hey.
Hi.
So I fell in my house and broke my arm, and Alexa called 911 for me.
Oh, you just got a bunch of people.
And it worked, Melissa, and I'm glad to hear that it worked because there's another story of a young man that got trapped. I don't even want to think about it. And he kept trying to get his phone to do it, and it couldn't understand what he was trying to say.
Yeah, Alexa will do it for you.
Okay.
Good to know.
Did what she just said have a bunch of people's phones calling 911?
She said, I had blank, blank call blank. Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll find out on the text line here shortly.
Festivus coming your way in 15 minutes here on Dana and Parks. Hey, have you missed our interview with the Post-Sex Nachos and their performance of four songs? You can find it on the podcast. They were on in the 2 o'clock hour. They are performing tonight. Details in the interview. Just go to kmbz.com.
The KC Pet Project Patio Party.
Party.
Yeah.
What?
Something like that. Anyway, yeah.
That's a good
patio party.
Party.
And I think it's out at SWOT.
Party on the Patio?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From CBS News, a biotech company that aims to resurrect lost creatures said this week it has hatched live chicks in an artificial environment, a development that was met with mixed reviews from scientists and critics of its de-extinction mission.
Oh, Jurassic Park me.
Yeah. Okay, so it is called the Giant Moa.
Is this colossal?
Yes.
Okay.
What's your beef with the colossal company?
I listened to a 3.5-hour interview with one of the lead ancient genome sequencing researchers. So her job is to go and find DNA samples of ancient species and put together the genome sequencing. And in the interview, she talked about how they have samples from thousands of extinct animals, parasites, like things
woolly,
like that.
Woolly mammoth.
Okay, but
they already did this with the dire wolf. They're mm-hmm. looking to the woolly mammoth.
How do they put this in a fake egg?
They
3D printed.
Mix it with a real egg. So like the dire wolf was mixed with a gray wolf.
Okay.
So it's not really a dire wolf. It's only actually like 10% dire wolf, but it's much bigger. It has the same hunt drive, the same prey drive.
Oh, gosh. Why do we need to bring that back?
It's basically a dire wolf, but she promised over and over again in this interview that they don't have any more plans to bring any more animals back.
Oh, whatever.
And here we are. Why would you go through the time and the money to get all this genome sequencing to not use it?
Explain the egg again. It was a fake egg.
3D printed lattice structure that mimics a real egg shell, according to Colossal. They also want to bring back the woolly mammoth.
Yeah.
By the way, the giant moa basically looks like a huge ostrich.
So basically, if there is a fossil out there of an animal, they have the genome sequencing for it.
Listen to this. She says, this platform could help rescue fragile bird embryos, hatch birds that refuse to breed in captivity, and potentially revive species preserved as frozen cells and DNA.
Okay, I have no idea what you just read.
The hatch chicks are important because bird species are in sharp decline.
Well, here's what I think we should do. I think, because currently these studies and the dire wolves are housed on these massive farms in Texas. They just own thousands and thousands of acres, and apparently it's super secure, so they can never get out. But as they advance, I want them to move their research to an island. And once we build up more animals, we can invite people out to that island to come look at them.
It's called Jurassic Island. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we can call it Jurassic. Yeah.
I'll make a movie about that. Yeah. Maybe we can make the whole island a park. Call it Jurassic Park.
Listen to this. Such de-extinction efforts may make more sense with currently endangered species, where scientists could preserve sperm and egg cells from living members to attempt to bring more back. The problem with that, talk about the silverback gorilla. The problem with that is those are declining because we're destroying their habitat. Making more of them does not change the fact we've destroyed their habitat.
But if we could bring back the dodo bird.
Everyone always talks about the dodo bird.
Why not?
Why would we bring back? Doesn't bother me.
It's not going to hurt you.
We could. It's not going to hurt me. I'd rather save the silver-backed gorilla.
Okay.
Very Jurassic Park.
A new study from the Action Network has identified Kansas City as a high-risk location for heat during the upcoming World Cup. The city is ranked as the hottest destination among the United States host cities and second overall on the entire list of American host cities, North American. Kansas City's landlocked location works against its ability to cool down during the summer.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, if you live in Missouri, this is important. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe today decided that the measure to repeal the state income tax will be on the August ballot. Kehoe is calling for a 5-year plan to phase out the state's income tax. The proposal cleared the Senate and the House in April.
There was also a lawsuit filed today regarding our mini liquor bottle ban in some parts of Kansas City. We might bring that back on Monday. I knew some of those liquor stores would fight back.
And they should.
And they are.
Yep. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the top of the hour news. Get in early. Every line is open at 913-586-7798, 586-7798. The grievances when we return.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.